Hey listeners, my fabulous colleagues Amy Bernstein and Amy Gallo are back with a new season of Women at Work. You know, it's your guide to whatever you're facing at work, from anxiety to Gen AI. Listen to new episodes of Women at Work every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the HBR IdeaCast from Harvard Business Review. I'm Sarah Green. I'm talking today with E. Tori Higgins and Heidi Grant Halverson. They're co-authors of the book Focus, Use Different Ways of Seeing the World for Success and Influence. And they're co-authors of the HBR article, Do You Play to Win or Not to Lose? They're both based at Columbia, where Heidi is the Associate Director of the Motivation Science Center, and Tori is Director of the Center and a professor who's won multiple accolades and teaching awards. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So at the core of the book is the concept of motivational focus, specifically what you call prevention focus and promotion focus. Tori, can you explain those terms to us?
Basically, the idea of this goes back to the fact that all of us understand that motivation is about approaching pleasure and avoiding pain to some extent. And the real question, though, is whether that's the whole story. And promotion prevention says, yes, that is what we do. We approach pleasure and avoid pain, but there's actually two very different ways that we do that. And so we can approach pleasure and avoid pain in a promotion way or in a prevention way. When we do it in a promotion way, then it's the pleasure of making progress, the pleasure of advancing, accomplishing things, gaining things. And so that's where the pleasure comes from. And the pain is when we fail to advance, when we fail to make gains, where we basically stay where we are instead of making progress. So that's the promotion kind of pleasure and pain. Prevention is really quite different because prevention is really concerned about safety and security. It wants to maintain a satisfactory state, maintain the status quo, as long as that's okay. And so in the prevention system, pleasure is actually maintaining safety and security, maintaining where you are because it's okay. And pain is when you fail to do that, when you actually make mistakes, when you lose that satisfactory state. And so they're both pleasure and pain, but they work very, very differently. One of my students was a vice president of Boeing, and he told me the story about the fact that their safety record wasn't good enough. Their products were not safe and not reliable, and they felt what they needed to do was motivate managers to make that better, to have a different record of safety. And they naturally decided the way to do that was by offering a bonus and saying that if the safety record improved by the end of the year, everybody would get a bonus. And to his surprise, it didn't work. And he assumed, well, how could it not work? It's kind of like one size fits all, carrots and sticks. And it turned out that the problem is that when you offer a bonus, that's really a promotion kind of motivation, because you're saying, you know, if you do this and this, you're going to gain something. You're actually going to advance your salary. So that puts everybody into a promotion mindset, whereas what they really wanted to do was improve safety. And to improve safety, you need people to be in a prevention mindset. And so you can't really give a bonus, and you have to do something really quite different. And what you need to do is not obvious, which is, instead of giving a bonus, what you do instead is say, all right, we've put aside this money for you. You already have it. And you will have it still at the end of the year if you, in fact, have a certain kind of safety record. So it's yours to lose. And so you now have it, and you need to maintain a vigilant safety record, or otherwise you'll lose it. And when you give that kind of message, it puts people in prevention. Now they do care about safety, and now, in fact, you'll be effective.
Definitely, that's a great segue, because I'd love to talk more about how these different types play out at work. And of course, you know, I want to be realistic and say that, you know, I read the book, and I know from reading it that most of us are actually a mix of different kinds of types and different kinds of situations. So I don't want to get into typecasting. But with that caveat out there, Heidi, can you tell us a little bit about maybe what kinds of jobs and tasks tend to be better for each type so we might see how we might fit in into the workplace a little better?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, as you said, everybody does some of both, and everybody to some extent cares about advancing, and everyone to some extent cares about safety. But we do tend to find that for many people, probably most people, have what we think of as a dominant focus. Again, they'll change. So my dominant focus when it comes to my work is definitely a promotion focus. I tend to think about my goals and my projects and what I do in terms of how I can kind of advance and move forward and make progress. For the record, I think about other aspects of my life, like how I am as a parent, very differently, much more prevention focused, how to keep everybody safe and, you know, make sure that all the bills get paid. So each of us does shift, but we do tend to have a dominant focus with respect to our work and our careers. When you find that your dominant focus is promotion, then the strengths of promotion, being in a promotion-focused mindset, are things like creativity, innovation, being able to identify opportunities and to seize them, to be more comfortable taking chances, more comfortable sort of thinking outside the box, doing things in new ways that haven't been done before, being a great brainstormer. These are the kinds of things that we find that when people are promotion-focused, they tend to just naturally to do more effectively. And so people who are promotion-focused do tend to be, and there's actually data that shows they tend to end up in positions that are sort of more artistic or exploratory by nature. So to be creatives, right, people who work in sort of design, or to be people who are working as consultants or inventors. Prevention-focused people have a very different set of strengths, and when we are prevention-focused, we tend to be better at things like being very diligent and thorough, being very accurate, because prevention focus is all about sort of avoiding errors, right? So we're great planners when we're prevention focused. We see all the things that might go wrong, and we try to figure out, you know, how we can prevent those things from happening. And also being a more of a sort of an analytical thinker is something that kind of goes along with prevention motivation. So we do find that people who are high in prevention motivation end up being more in sort of the sort of, you know, more realistic and kinds of jobs that involve a lot of technical detail. So things like being an engineer or lawyers, actually, particularly contract lawyers, their entire job is pretty much about making sure bad things don't happen, making sure there are no loopholes, making sure there is no language that's going to come back to bite you later in the document. So those kinds of jobs where we're being very accurate and being good at scrutiny and being good at discovering things that might go wrong and being good at keeping things running smoothly, those are the kinds of careers where someone who's very prevention-focused is going to flourish.
Well, and that points, I think, to some of the interesting potential conflicts that might arise in the workplace. If you are a manager, for instance, who might be promotion focused and you're trying to motivate someone who's prevention focused, and if you don't understand that they're just coming at it from a different way, you might be trying to give them encouragement that, you know, going back to the Boeing example, that's not motivating to them. Mm-hmm. Heidi, can you just talk a little bit about maybe some of the conflicts that can arise and things managers should be mindful of in that regard?
In another part of the book, we talk about kind of speaking the motivational language of the people you work with, or this works for your spouse too, because there are a lot of people talk about, oh, my husband is so promotion and I'm prevention. There's a lot of conflict that comes up around this issue of, you know, I'm thinking in terms of gain, you're thinking in terms of avoiding loss. But actually, once you can kind of identify that, and it's pretty easy to do, then you can start to actually, if you want to be persuasive to, you know, if you're promotion focused and you want to be persuasive to your prevention focused colleague and convince them that you need to innovate in this particular area, then the thing to do is not to do what would work for you, which is to say all the reasons why innovation is so great. But what would work would be instead to say, you know, here's why it's dangerous for us to not innovate. You know, we could lose market share. We could end up behind all of our other competitors. That's the way to talk about it that is going to make a prevention-focused person say, oh, well, now that makes sense, right? Because danger I get, right? Mm. You know, falling behind, that's bad. So one of the things that I think really important in the book that we go over is sort of how to very, and the differences are very subtle, but how to sort of subtly change your language to make sense to the person you're talking to if they happen to be coming from a different dominant motivation. And so we can learn to talk to each other in the language that makes sense, and so we can kind of all get on board with the same idea and do it in a way that, again, sort of respects what each person is bringing. Because really, ultimately, you know, both promotion and prevention are always needed in any success story.
Mm. It's interesting, as you're talking through this, I'm remembering some of the really interesting studies from the book that actually showed that if you match people's motivational fit to the kind of feedback that you're giving them, it actually does have an impact. And I'm just wondering, Tori, if maybe we could end by you just telling us about some of the really interesting research in this area and kind of the science behind it.
So one of the examples, it's one of my favorites, I know it's one of Heidi's favorites too, is that there is in fact this team in Germany, a football team, what we'd call soccer, and as you know, football in Germany is, they're fanatical about it, and these scientists managed to work with one of the teams and managed to convince them to do a little experiment during one of their practices, and the practices had to do with shootouts, which is practicing penalty kicks, which I'm sure everybody realizes in football is very important because the game so often ends up tied.
Mm.
So that's the practice, and they actually gave out our measure from the Motivation Science Center so we could identify who among the players were more promotion, who was more prevention. And the experimental part of it was to have the shooting coach randomly give people instructions about what to do in the shootout. And for half of the players, he said, I want you to get three or more into the net. And in the other condition, he said to the players, I want you not to miss two or more. And so basically everybody's being told the same thing, which is try to end up scoring at least 3 points. But in one case, they're using the language of sort of eager gaining points, in the other case of not missing, losing points. And the same kind of result happened, which is that when you were promotion, you scored more points if you were given this eager gain language. If you were prevention, you scored more points if you were given the don't miss, don't lose language. And it was almost as much overall as a full point.
Wow.
And anybody who watches this game knows that that's precisely what wins you the World Cup. So it's a dramatic kind of effect on real players in real time who you would normally think you could not possibly change how well they would score. There's nobody more motivated than professional soccer or football players in Germany, and there's nobody more skilled. So how could a little change in language make such a big difference? But this is what's been found over and over again.
Maybe just quickly before we wrap up, because we're almost out of time, but I'm just curious, Heidi, is one of these groups happier than the other group? Because, you know, it's hard to get away from the sense that the people on the sunny side of life are always supposed to be happier. Is that true?
You know, I would say that it really just depends on what you mean by happy. I think that we tend to think of happy as really cheerful and you know, upbeat. And when you think about happiness that way, then yes, I think that it's true that promotion-focused people, or when people are promotion-focused, when they feel good, that's the kind of good they feel. It's that sort of upbeat, joy, cheerfulness kind of happy. But there's a kind of good feeling that prevention-focused people have too, and that's the kind of calmness, relaxation, sort of more like serenity that prevention-focused people experience when everything is going well, right? When they're safe and everything is running smoothly. So both are positive emotions. Both are, I think, very important to our well-being. And I think the truth is, you know, if you ask most people, I'm about 40. I have young kids. If you ask me, what would I rather feel on any given day, relaxed and calm and peaceful or psyched and joyous, I will take relaxed and calm and peaceful any day of the week. You know, people meditate to get to be calm and peaceful. They don't meditate to feel psyched, you know, and cheerful. So I think that that prevention kind of good is a really important kind of good that we really need for our well-being. And Tori and I have actually done studies together showing that both promotion-focused and prevention-focused people, that when they do well, when they're actually reaching their goals, they have, it predicts well-being for both of them.
Mm.
And also, I just one quick comment. You know, I mean, there's so many religions in the world who have a concept of heaven, and in whatever language they're talking about, heaven is peace and joy.
Mm.
It's always both. So both people, promotion and prevention, can live heaven on earth, basically.
With peace and joy, but personally, I'll take peace, if that's available.
Well, that was fascinating. Heidi and Tori, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
That was Heidi Grant Halverson and E. Tori Higgins. The book is called Focus. For more, including their HBR article, visit hbr.org.